Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Robert Knott is going to be with us, speaking of the arts, as he always is. Right now, I'd like to welcome Shannon DeYoung. She is a writer and performer from the San Francisco Bay Area, and she's performing tonight in a one-woman show called Burst. And that's actually tonight and tomorrow at the Rail Yard Performance Space at 8 o'clock. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
This is a really, really interesting and riveting performance. I went yesterday to the rehearsal. I was going to only stay for the first act, but I could not go home because it was so interesting. It was based on your own life and a whole process that you went through of dealing with mental illness. How did you decide to take all of this and actually make a performance out of it?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I'm not sure that I could have not used it in some way, some fashion, and write about it. I was actually working on a novel, and I did a couple drafts of this as a novel, originally having it much less focused on my life and more just about these issues because they've always been really important to me. And it slowly evolved, and eventually just it wanted to be on the stage. And I think that's how it came to be. It was incredibly physical in what I wanted to describe, and I found myself looking at the script and noticing that it really needed to be visual as well as, just a story. So I took it to the stage.
Now, when you say physical, you have a background in dance and gymnastics and all sorts of things, so there's a lot of movement in it.
Yes, there's actually quite a bit of movement, which I hadn't anticipated, but my director, Tanya Taylor Rubenstein, really had me sort of incorporate a lot of different elements into it, the dance, the gymnastics, and I think that it makes it sort of visually more interesting and engaging, but also a lot of the themes, I think, are best captured in physicality as well as narrative.
So this covers a period of time in your life when you were in your mid-20s and you were working at this super hipster branding agency naming products and things like that. You're making a lot of money, moving very, very fast. You start off the performance with a quotation from Jack Kerouac, who was also somebody who moved really, really fast. And I thought, maybe you could tell us also, what were the good parts of that?
Well, I mean, I think that, as you saw, I think the excitement, the energy, the, life force, if you will, sort of behind that time in my life, and I think it feels good to be in motion, to have this perpetual movement and energy. There was a lot of exploration that went on during that time in my life. I was doing a lot of really interesting creative, cultural explorations. I mean, there's a lot of people around. I was living in San Francisco. The main thing for me was the kind of creativity that was going on, just lots of color and energy. That was the great part about it.
I think a lot of real creativity comes from that place, and it's not necessarily shallow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's really something that I wanted to convey in my show, whether it had to do with, just the pace of modern life or something, like a bipolar 2 and then edging into, severe mental illness, that I really wanted to look at the subtlety and the complexity of that, because I think that it's true, a lot of our greatest, which is why I included those quotes, because a lot of our greatest minds and thinkers and certainly artists, I think walk that line, and it is sort of a cliche, there's a fine line between genius and madness, but I think that can be explored in a lot of different areas. There's a fine line between everything. I think everything in life falls on this spectrum and moves in several dimensions, and it's really, to box it in and categorize it, I think you're inherently limiting it.
The way you describe that young urban Californian life and all the super hip things you were doing and the magazines you were reading and the clothes you were wearing and the type of coffee and all that you were drinking, it's such a weird combination of total freedom but also kind of total conformity.
Yes, that's certainly the case. I think that's one thing that everyone in their early 20s, I think, goes through, this sense of, I'm an adult now, I'm self-sufficient, I'm financially, somewhat solvent, but or maybe independent. But also, and I think that this has to be said for anywhere, and not just being in a city or an urban environment, but anywhere, finding something as vague as authenticity, you know, and however, whatever that means to you. I think there essentially any kind of freedom can also be a trap because, you know, with that sense of freedom, there's a lack of grounding, and often we turn to something that's already established, whether it's cultural norms or, you know, what our peers are doing in order to find some semblance of grounding rather than maybe turning inward and finding our own sense of stability or truth.
So we're talking to Shannon DeYoung. Her performance tonight and tomorrow is called Burst at 8 o'clock at the Rail Yard Performance Space here in Santa Fe. One of the things that was really striking about the play and the way you describe this dysphoric hypomania, which is that another word for bipolar 2?
Well, actually, dysphoric hypomania it describes an episode.
Okay.
Which, you know, within bipolar 2 or soft bipolar, there's the sort of manic end, and then there's the depressive end. However, because it's a bipolar 2, it's not a full-fledged bipolar, which they call bipolar 1, they call it hypomania, which means sort of a little mania. You know, there's no experience of hallucinations, there's no experience of, you know, true delusions of grandeur. However, there is definitely a lot of these things which feel very manic, you know, lack of sleep, fast talking, rapid thinking, making connections which may or may not be there.
And working for weeks and weeks and weeks on 3 hours of sleep at high energy.
Yes. And I think I wanted to use my experience as an extreme. And, you know, I can give it this label, bipolar 2. And, you know, I know that we're not necessarily going into the social, you know, implications here. But I think for me, it was such a perfect metaphor for this life that we're, you know, especially in an urban environment, but increasingly really all over the world. I mean, you know, I talk about my experiences in Vietnam. And even now I go back. I've been back several times. I have friends there. And even there, you know, in Vietnam, it's rapidly growing. It's in Hanoi. Every time I go back, there's a new, you know, there's a Chanel store and a Burger King, and which even a year ago wasn't there.
And everyone's got cell phones.
And everybody, oh, of course, everybody. I mean, of course, Asia is sort of leapfrogging us in terms of technology.
Yeah.
But and now talking to my Vietnamese friends, who, you know, it's really easy to go and meet up with people who. Yeah, you know, they have electricity and they have plumbing, but they might not have, you know, a floor that's completely not dirt. You know, there might be areas. And, I mean, this is really common. I'm less in Hanoi. And now I'm checking in with a Vietnamese friend of mine, and she's like, oh, yes, Shani, I cannot talk with you right now. I am too busy. I am working many hours, you know, maybe later. And it's really interesting, this role reversal, because now I've sort of taken to a much more, I think, quiet, simple life, living in the countryside. And, you know, she's working this fast-paced life. And it just really, I think, is indicative of worldwide this increasing pace that's just, I mean, inherent, you know, because of technology and just the way that our world is moving. And so I felt like my experience with bipolar 2, even though, yes, you know, it was quote-unquote diagnosed, and it's this thing that, you know, we sort of say, oh, well, that's, you know, a disorder, and that's sort of some sort of crazy thing, but I'm okay. I really think that there's very little difference in my experience and what a lot of us, not all of us, but a lot of us are increasingly being asked to experience and perform at that level.
Yeah, I mean, the in the play in the performance that you do, there's a conversation with, and by the way, you're a very good actress, and so these conversations with the the psychopharmacologist and all these people are very funny and very well drawn. But
thank you.
There's this, they ask you whether you have mental illness in your family, and it turns out that there have been a lot of people who were bipolar, and pretty much everybody at this point knows that there's a very strong genetic component to it. But the fact that when you went to Vietnam and really chilled out and then moved to the countryside and moved back to your parents' house in a place where there's grass and trees and animals and things like that, that it made such a difference. There's such an environmental component to this whole thing in any way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, I certainly know that from my own experience, either as someone with bipolar 2 or just as a human being living on the planet. But I think it has to be the case for so many people. I mean, something that is so overlooked, like, yes, I went on vacation and I feel relaxed. And now I'm back in my life and I feel stressed out. I mean, those are really simple, you know, examples. But I think that should immediately indicate something deeper on the environmental level that we need to address or just to be aware of. Because I think that, and that's the other thing that I really wanted to be careful in this show. I didn't want to end up with any conclusion. I didn't want to tell people it's this or that, one way or the other. This is right. This is wrong. I just wanted to explore because I think that, as with anything in life, it's always about a multitude of factors. And there's always, I think, almost beyond being able to even pick out what's causing what. Because it's true, I will never know that when the exact same time I left San Francisco, moved back to the country, started meditating, started eating better, started getting regular sleep, I also went on lithium.
Right.
And, you know, if you talk to a, you know, psychiatrist, she'll say, oh, well, certainly those other things helped. The lithium, you know, probably helped most of all. If you talk to someone who has more of a, say, spiritual bent, they would say, oh, no, it's the meditation. If you talk to, you know, and I think that's what I find most interesting is that there's all these different components which add up to this whole.
I think also in relation to that, describing it, I mean, you can describe it in psychological, scientific, medical ways, but having seen your performance, I feel like describing it through art is at least as accurate, if not more accurate.
I agree. I mean, I feel like whenever I have this conversation with someone or in some way have to engage with what this is all about, depending on who I'm talking to, you know, I can sort of shift it to face one of those sort of disciplines, if you will. But I think that the only way that I've ever been able to fully express the, I think, entirety and depth of the experience is through art. Because there is no categorization, there is no telling. The audience pulls from it what they will. All I can do is offer up my experience in its full, you know, range.
Exactly. And there's something really deep about that, which is that nobody has all the answers. All anybody is doing, whether they be the president or a psychological guru of all time or the spiritual guru, they just offer something and some people get it and some people don't.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody has their own truth. And everybody sees the world through their lens. And whether their lens is Buddhism or psychiatry or, you know, whatever it is. And this is my lens. And so I think that that was a very actually important thing in this whole thing, in this whole show for me was, again, not coming to any conclusion and not imposing a view on the audience. Because I think it's essential in my for myself in my journey to have come to my own definitions of how I look at this, and come to my own truth. And I think, again, you know, in the broadest sense, whatever truth means to you, I think is the only way that we'll ever be satisfied in knowing something that sits with us is it's our own. We created it.
We're talking to Shannon DeYoung. Her performance is called Burst. It's happening tonight and tomorrow at 8 o'clock at the Rail Yard Performance Space here in Santa Fe. There's something that I think is also, no matter how extreme or not extreme a person is in their mood swings, but especially when you are dealing with this bipolar 2 or bipolar 1, whatever, the extremes are so unlike each other that it really brings up big questions of identity. Like, who am I when I'm manic, and who am I when I'm profoundly depressed, and who am I when I'm, like, sitting in my mother's living room? They almost don't bear any resemblance to each other, and it's hard to remember what the other state was like when you're in one of the extremes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, from purely a, you know, sort of bipolar experiential level, there really is this kind of emotional amnesia when you're experiencing one or the other. I mean, when you're depressed, and I think a lot of people can relate to this when they're feeling, I mean, on a purely, really sort of, in terms of brain chemistry, I mean, I did a lot of research, when you're depressed, or conversely, when you're feeling sort of manic or hypomanic, the neurons and the memories of all other times when you've been depressed are triggered. And those are stored, you know, they're sort of linked neurologically, and they're stored in the brain in sort of clusters. And so all you can feel is sort of this triggering and this ping-ponging around the area of your brain that recognizes depression, which is the same way whenever we experience, say, failure or disappointment. Oh, my God, I'm such a failure. Look at all these things I've ever done wrong in my life. You know, and say with loss, you experience loss, and suddenly, you know, your cat Fluffy from when you were 3 years old, you know, when it died, you know, when he or she died, suddenly that comes up because of the neurological structure of the brain. But on a purely, individual level, and certainly what took me in a spiritual level is, wait a minute, so is this really me when I'm depressed? Is this really me when I'm hypomanic? Wait, so what's really me? Because if everything is all about these subtle shades of gray on the spectrum, am I just this point, one point in the middle? Well, that doesn't make sense. If I'm just having a bad day, I'm still me. If I'm feeling really happy, I'm still me. And that's really what sent me, I think, in search of a deeper answer to this question. Really, what makes us up? What makes up one individual?
Right. And that becomes your Zen koan in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it did. It sort of fell into my lap, quite by mistake. But I was reading a great book, Three Pillars of Zen, and I was reading about the koan, originally the Japanese koan, what is mu. Mu? Mu. And
like the sound the cow makes?
No, it's actually M-U, and it comes from a story with a great Japanese master, you know, and someone coming and asking the question, so does a dog have Buddha nature? And the master answered, mu, which in Japanese actually means a number of things, including nothing, absence, and no. I mean, literally means no, but it has all these other subtleties of nothingness, nothing. And that sort of has become, I think, a very popular koan, you know. Popular in its way, but what is mu? But it's sort of been adapted, I think, for a Western mind with who am I, which we're very, you know, self-aware, and we like those things which help us explore ourselves. So I think that's something that just became an interesting question, and to really pursue that nonstop. I mean, without fail, constantly being asking this question. And I was asking myself this question for, weeks, and then really intensely for days. And I was still going about my day. I was moving about, but I had the experience of sort of sinking into this other place, and everything being who. And after a while, sort of dropping the question and really just living with that moment.
And all of this is explored in a very beautiful way in this performance called Burst, which once again is happening tonight. How did you develop the piece? You're working with Santa Fe director Tanya Taylor Rubinstein, but you live in the San Francisco Bay Area.
I do. I come to New Mexico a lot. I have some friends here. I have a family member here. And I've done some house sitting for some friends. And they, it was rather serendipitous. I mean, I won't go into the story, but basically just sort of seeing a poster, calling a number, being directed, wrong number, oh, but check out this person, and, you know, just sort of all these arrows, and eventually got connected with Tanya. And so when I was out here for a month house sitting for a friend one time, I set up a couple of weeks to work with Tanya, and we just worked together for 2 days straight, and then I wrote the play really in about 2 weeks, and then we met again at the end and to review it. And then, she was like, great, here you go, there's your script. I went home and sort of tweaked it a bit and realized that because I had been working so closely with Tanya, I really trusted her, and I felt like she really understood what I was trying to get at. She wasn't trying to impose anything on it, which I really loved. We were on the same page. And so I just came back and I said, I'd love to work with you as my director. So that's how that all came about.
It's great to see a piece which has, I mean, there's a lot of monologue work that people do in Santa Fe, and a lot of it is really wonderful. But to see a piece that has both the content and the craft is really important, because that takes it into a work of art and not just a kind of cathartic or therapeutic experience for the person who did it.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I love individual monologue, stories based on one's experience. But I have to admit, it was kind of a difficult process for me to incorporate so much of my life, and not just because it's incredibly personal, but really because I have this inherent fear that my life is boring, and so Tanya was kind of really insistent, like, no, trust me. You know, this is what makes the story, and this is what people connect with. And so I was really happy with where it ended out, that it's based on my personal experience, but it certainly is not just about me talking about me. I really wanted it to be very universal.
It is. It does. Take it from me, ladies and gentlemen. It does. It does cross that line. I was wondering whether you were hoping to reach... This is the opening night. This is the first time you're performing it. Are you hoping to reach people and or families of people who have been struggling with mental illness?
Absolutely. I mean, that's certainly an audience that I would love to reach. I've been in contact with the local NAMI here, National Alliance on Mental Illness, Santa Fe. And in fact, 50% of all of the proceeds generated from the two runs of the show after expenses will be donated to the local NAMI of Santa Fe. I really strongly, obviously not just because it's a personal issue for me, but I have family members that experience mental illness. And the work that NAMI is doing is so great, just providing many different services from, you know, counseling, support, peer support, education, helping families. And so I felt really strongly, too, about, being a visitor from the Bay Area and really giving back to the community, because even though I don't live here, I love New Mexico. And so I was really happy to do that. And yes, I really, I do want to make that connection, because I think it really helps to understand, even just my own family, in helping to educate them, they have, it's much less scary. And I think it brings a lot more understanding to the range of mental illness.
And certainly when you see somebody acting the whole drama out, it makes you feel like you're not the only one who's going through it.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Shannon DeYoung, it's just about time to go. What is your website if people want to find out more about you and your work?
My website is www.shannondeyoung.com, and I'll spell that. It's SHANNONDEYOUNG. ShannonDeYoung.com.
Like De Jong.
It sounds like De Jong. Yes, it's Dutch.
Shannon, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
And once again, the performance Burst is tonight and tomorrow at 8 o'clock at the Rail Yard Performance Space. We're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back in a moment with Robert Knott. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He is the education beat dude, and he is with us every Friday speaking of the arts.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ooh,
that was a hot little good morning.
Well, I thought this morning I would be hot since it's so cool.
Yeah, for a change.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I see you're going to be involved with something over at the Film Museum Wednesday night. I thought I would.
Oh, yeah. You plug.
The Story Dancer Project, right?
Yeah, the Story Dancer Project, Zuleika.
Of course I like it. I wouldn't mention it if I didn't like it. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
It's 7:30, right? What are you going to be doing? Moderating? Or?
Yeah, well, we're going to be having a discussion. Zuleika is an amazing artist and has been thinking about... the name of the program, I don't have it in front of me right now. Is it Art as Service?
Art as Service.
Art as Service. So we're going to be having a conversation on that topic and probably ranging into all sorts of things.
Pretty good. That's 7:30 at the New Mexico Film Museum.
Formerly known as the Juan Cocteau Theater.
Donation requested. Call 820-1651. I like Sharon Maloof, who's running that now. I'm giving grief to the Film Museum, but I really like her. She's just so...
Why are you giving them grief?
Because that's not the discussion I was planning to have this morning.
But, all right.
I think they've been around for 6 years without doing anything, and, you know, it's kind of a... sort of a sham, but at the same time, she's trying, and I like her, and I'm glad that this event's happening. Monday night is a whole different kind of discussion. Marcus Ammerman is going to be talking about an attitude of creativity at the Hotel Santa Fe at 6 o'clock as part of Southwest Seminar's Native Voices in the Arts lecture series. Proceeds benefit Southwestern Association for Indian Arts. You got to pay to get in. 466-2775.
Hey, speaking of films, have you heard about the film In the Loop that's opening tonight at the CCA?
The British satire, yeah.
Yeah, here's how they describe it. I haven't seen it yet. Screamingly funny parody of the political machinations behind the British-U.S. manufacture of a war, read Iraq, comes from the creators of the British TV series The Thick of It. Anyway, and James Gandolfini plays in it, and he's Tony Soprano.
Whoa, yeah, it's got a pretty good review from Rob DeWalt from the Apostle Tampa. I have not seen it.
And In Search of Beethoven is there, and you
still
have to go see that. Have you seen it?
No, but
it's so good.
Craig Smith says it's really
wonderful.
We got
to go see it. And Every Little Step is still there.
Yeah.
We've covered both of those on this show, and they're
excellent.
So good.
And Halloween 2 is opening today. Rob Zombie's movie about the remake of Halloween, only this time it's part 2. They did
the presses.
8 parts to the other. Stop the bleeding. Tonight, I have a feeling it's sold out. Lenzik, Georgia O'Keeffe, Lifetime Channel biopic with Joan Allen, who I think is very good in it, who's an actress I greatly admire, and she was kind enough to give me a phone interview, and there's a little piece in the Paso Tiempo about it. It's 7 p.m. at the Lenzik. Joan Allen will be on hand, as will a couple of the producers.
Nice.
So if you're interested and you think you can get in, give 988-1234 a call. Otherwise, it shows up on the Lifetime Channel in late September, I think September 19th.
So going in random order, as I always do, and you
ditto,
don't.
Yeah.
Karen and Kevin McLaughlin are going to perform on today from 6 to 8 at the Clubhouse at Zia Vista at 2501 West Zia Road. And all ages are invited. Admission is free, and they'll be performing songs just for fun, like Ain't Misbehavin', You Are My Sunshine, and some originals as well.
Pretty cool. The cover story, very well written by Doug Fairfield, who also has a great column in this week's Paso Tiempo about his experiences at the Indian Market, including some what I think is some very valid criticism, but also, fortunately, also paying compliments. But nonetheless, the cover story is about Ricardo Martinez. This is over at the Visual Arts Gallery.
Oh, yeah. I think we're going to have him on the air next week.
Terrific. Take a look at the story. It opens, I think, Thursday, 5 to 7. At the Visual Arts Gallery, Santa Fe Community College. We may not think of going all the way out there at Richards Avenue to see art shows, but this is a great photo show.
You know, they have an amazing art program out there. The galleries, the gallery space is huge and really beautiful. The classes, the students are very good, and they have some very serious artists like Ricardo Martinez and others. It's really worth heading out there. You can stop in and say hi to KSFR, too.
That's excellent, and I hope to cover that as an arts writer. It looks terrific. It's a great cover story. Pick up Pasa, take a look. Ruta Sinuosa, which I think means difficult road. Photographs of Copper Canyon, Mexico. Ricardo Martinez, Thursday night. Visual Arts Gallery, free. Want a phone number? 428-1501.
Hey, how about the Los Alamos concert series?
Let's talk about it.
There's a show tonight, Band of Heathens.
Ooh, I like that.
They say they're a rock and roll band. Yeah, that would be good for you. They say they're a rock and roll band. There's also a mix of blues, country, rock, folk, and southern rock. They've been compared to Black Crowes, the band, Little Feet, et cetera, et cetera. And even Graham Parsons meets Neil Young, Tom Waits. I'm just reading what he's reading. But you can look them up at bandofheathens.com. And they are a major band that happens to be traveling through Los Alamos. You can go to gordonsconcerts.com. And find out more about the concert series. It's winding down. There's going to be one more, I think, in a couple of weeks.
And also winding down, I think this is the last weekend of the Santa Fe Opera. Mozart's The Magic Flute tonight.
No.
No, 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 no. That's
the Elixir of Love tonight, to which I am going.
The Elixir of Love. It's 8 o'clock. Got to pay to get in, 986-5900. Mozart's The Magic Flute is part of the Metropolitan Opera thing playing at the Lenzik at 11 o'clock Saturday morning.
Oh, and nice.
That was in the back of my head. You can call 988-1234 to try it again. I think Saturday night's probably the last night of the opera.
Yeah, it is.
But it's not Elixir of Love. It is one of the other ones they were doing this year. I can't remember. I get them all.
It's La Traviata. They started and finished with that.
That's exactly what Natalie just said. Okay, good. So that's it. Last couple nights to go. Also, last weekend to catch the Santa Fe Opera backstage tours. 9 o'clock in the morning, 986-5900.
Hey, have you heard at Santa Fe Complex, there's this thing for some, I don't know what this stands for. It must say so somewhere, but U-U-U-U-T.
Anyway. Oh, U-U-U-T. Yeah, yeah, that's absolutely.
Basically, it's this thing where on this coming Sunday from 8 to 9 in the evening, you can bring anything that makes a sound.
Yeah.
And jam and play music with the other folks who show up.
Right.
Setup starts at 7, and it's at Santa Fe Complex. You can go to them at sfcomplex.org. It's at 632 Agua Fria, but you have to enter sort of through the back, which is the parking lot on Romero Street.
And there's a small donation requested. Call 216-7562.
Yes.
We still have the Juan C.D. Flamenco Theater Company at the Marina Benitez Cabaret up at the Lodge of Santa Fe, also I think playing out its last week or two. The Maria Benitez Institute for Spanish Arts actually is presenting its Next Generation Youth Company at 2 o'clock on Sunday at the Lodge of Santa Fe. 992-5800. She does great work with young teens, and they just kick it up, and it's terrific. That's 2 o'clock. But Juan CD's still there in the evenings. I don't know specifically how long they run. I'm assuming through Labor Day. This is an odd weekend. And I know this from being at PASA so many years. The post-Indian market pre-Labor Day/Fiesta weekend was always pretty quiet, but there are a lot of interesting things happening.
Did you go to Indian Market?
I went down to the plaza on Saturday last week for a little bit. And I should never take it for granted, like Spanish Market, but I've sort of done it so many years. It's not like Zizoba, but you go once or twice when you like. If you're not going to buy anything like me.
I'm not going to buy anything like you.
Well, I'm not for sale.
Oh, you're not?
Well, for you? Wait a minute. Watch me reduce my price real quick. Is it tax-free?
Moving right along.
Yeah, but if it's cash only.
I didn't go because I was I was in Colorado at a two-day Keller Williams extravaganza in a Colorado mountain gorge, and it was just transcendental.
Did you have somebody watch your house and your doggies?
Yes, I did.
Oh, those dogs are adorable.
They're good dogs.
Yeah, they're always happy to climb into bed with me. I'm like other people around here. So,
hey, the Museum of New Mexico birthday celebration is this Sunday. It's a great grand celebration on Milner Plaza to mark the close of the Museum of New Mexico's 100th birthday. And that's from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. Museum of Folk Art, Museum of Indian Arts and Culture, the exhibition Native Couture, number two, and it's free to New Mexico residents and all youth under 16. There's a charge for out-of-staters, and that's what's going on. And Wise Fool is performing and all kinds of things.
Speaking of hay fever, Noel Coward's comedy, since you like to say hay, 8 o'clock tonight, Santa Fe Playhouse, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Sunday, 2 o'clock. 988-4262. I have not yet seen it. It is a very funny Noel Coward farce. Some good actors in it, including Leslie Dillon, a playwright actress who's back in town, who I think a lot of. So I have a feeling it's going to be a fun show, directed by Jim and Carol McGiffin, husband and wife team. Haven't seen it yet. I hope to be there. Might be next weekend, but I shall be there. And also, theater-wise, tonight, Burst.
Yeah, we just had that with Shannon Dion.
That's right, and she has a really nice voice, but some people don't tune in to 8:30. So Shannon.
Some people only tune in for you, but I'll tell you that I laughed, I cried, and that was it wasn't even the dress rehearsal, it was the pre-dress rehearsal that I went to. And she's extremely talented, and it's a really good show. Anybody should go see it.
You sounded enthused, and both of you had a good interview, and she's very articulate on the radio, and I meant to tell that to her. She was passing by me. Tonight, 8 o'clock, 982-8309. And also tomorrow night, is it just two nights?
Yeah, it's two nights.
Cool, okay. Gotta pay to get in.
The Santa Fe Community College and College of Santa Fe Documentary Film Program, Film Intensive, is having a screening today of their films at the Jean Cocteau Theater.
That's right.
On Montezuma from 3 until 9. It's 10 films, and we had them on the air yesterday, and these are some incredibly awesome filmmakers. One of them that I was particularly impressed by, Eric Maddox, has made a film called 48 Generations, and it's basically he was in Israel and Palestine and interviewed people who'd been around in 1948 and just talked about how they described the you know, from one point of view, Independence Day, and the other point of view, catastrophe, and how they've passed that on from one generation to another. And it's the first documentary he's ever made. There's another one about being in the spay neuter van, going through New
That's
Mexico,
right.
dealing
yeah.
with doggies.
Oh,
there's a very loving piece about a woman who died of cancer. There's all sorts of things.
It's free. It's from 3 to 6. If I'm
3 to 9.
Pardon me. 3 to 9. It is 6 hours. That's right. And you
yeah.
can go in any time.
You can just walk in, walk
that's
out.
That's another good thing. It is happening at the New Mexico Film Museum. Call 986-1522. And also opening today, which I'm going to review, is the film Taking Woodstock by Ang Lee, who, of course, did Brokeback Mountain a couple of years ago. I'll be curious to see how that plays out. It's at Regal D. Vargas.
And tomorrow night, the Schola Cantorum is having a concert. But you know what? Give me a second because I'm opening a version of it which is completely garbled.
I will give you a second while I suggest that people pay attention to the Santa Fe Fiesta Council's Mariachi Extravaganza de Santa Fe. 7:30 Sunday night. It's going to be at the Santa Fe Opera. And the call the opera for box office tickets, 986-5900. And you're going to see a lot of different groups. Mariachi Los Toros, Mariachi Tradicional, y Mariachi Cardenal are among the featured groups. So go on up there and check it out. It's going to be Sunday night at 7:30.
Okay, here it is. Tomorrow, August 29th at 7:15, the Candlelit Sacred Music Concert in the beautiful and historic Our Lady of Lourdes Shrine at Oque Owingue Pueblo. And it's modeled after Sainte-Chapelle in Paris. Anyway, it's a concert. You're being asked to dress warmly, step back in time, and listen to centuries-old sacred music. Free admission, goodwill offerings accepted. And it's 45 minutes north of Santa Fe.
Cool. Next, we usually don't talk too much about the week after this because we like people to get used to telling us stuff this weekend. It is sort of a this-weekend town, which is one of the strengths of Positempo, and also when you and I do Speaking of the Arts.
But because very few people make plans more than
right.
about 4 hours in advance.
But a week from tonight is Roberta Flack with her 16-piece orchestra teaming up with Sean
yes.
Colvin. It's part of a gala charity evening at the Santa Fe Opera. I was supposed to interview her, but it just got postponed and postponed by her people. Nobody's fault until the deadline passed, and then she sent me a really nice email asking me...
Her people.
It was too late, which just goes to remind you, make sure you know deadlines on people who are working in the press business. But it is next Friday. I do want to tip people off. We'll mention it then. It's at the Opera. Call the Opera, 986-5900.
Hey, check this out. Tomorrow, American...
Tomorrow.
I lost it. Where'd it go? American Cancer Society, Bark for Life.
Wait a minute. We ain't Bark for Life.
This is a Woof Doggy... event.
Woof Doggy. What is that?
It's a Woof Doggy event, but I'm just getting it back up on my computer. Here we go. A canine event to fight cancer, Fort Marcy Field. Registration, activities, and food from 6 to 8 in the evening. Open ceremonies at 6:30, followed by a walk around the field.
Aww.
And there's an entrance fee for you and your dog.
Oh, that's nice.
And each dog will receive a Bark for Life bandana, and every person that belongs to the dog will receive a Bark for Life t-shirt. And for more information, you can write to gloria.martinez@cancer.org or call 505-820-3538.
That's Bark for Life. That's pretty good. The bandana won't last for life if it was on my dogs.
No.
They like skedaddle out of them. Bandanas look good on dogs. I don't like seeing dogs dressed up.
They look good on Western dogs.
Well, we live in the West, so that's good for New
Mexico.
Yeah. You mean they don't look good in New York City?
Well, they might, but then it would look like a Western dog migrated to New York.
Yeah, cowboy hats don't go over in New York City either.
You know what I found on the internet? I found one of those Concha Belt collars that my dog Honey really wants, because Milk has a turquoise on leather, like little turquoise dot kind of turquoise-looking stone collar, and Honey just has a plain collar, and so she wants to have a Concha Belt collar.
Man, don't forget.
But they're kind of expensive, but they're really nice.
I have to tell you a funny story about your dogs later. One big thing this year, this time of year, is the 35th annual Santa Fe Bluegrass and Old Time Music Festival, which happens at the end of every summer, and that sort of sneaks in again after Indian Market and before Fiesta. It's at the Santa Fe County Fairgrounds, 7 o'clock tonight, 9 a.m. Saturday and Sunday. Three-day passes are available, as are two-day passes, as are daily passes. Check out southwestpickers.org. You can get tickets at the Violin Shop of Santa Fe, which is on Llano Street. And there's a terrific piece by Paul Weideman in today's Pasatiempo, page 22.
Hey, how about this? Tomorrow from 11 to 4, the Lamy Renewable Energy Fair, a day of fun celebrating all things green, demos, booths, food, drink, live music, fun, 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 and the amazing solar popcorn. You can ride the Santa Fe train to Lamy. And let's see, for more information, call Mitch at 204-0833.
Pretty good. Not a lot of visual arts galleries opening tonight, but there's a few. The Delgado Street 4th Friday Art Walk is tonight, 5 to 8. Self-guided, head up to Delgado, Rudolph Canyon. The In Art Gallery is one of those. It has Earth Dancer, sculpture by David Caricato, reception 5 to 8. If you want to go down to Java Joe's down there by Joe's Diner, Java Joe's on Guadalupe Street, sorry, in the DeVargas Center. Paintings and Mixed Media Work by Polly Burns, 5 to 7. I was thinking the old Java Joe's. You mentioned Santa Fe Complex's Sunday night show, but the Friday show is Manipulated Image. It's work from Four Continents and the Virtual Second Life, which I hope goes better than my not-so-virtual First Life. It's a group show of indie animation, videos, web art, 8:30 tonight. Donation requested. Again, Santa Fe Complex at 632 Agua Fria.
Indie animation. It sounds like you're saying Indiana.
Right.
Mation.
I know. And then Zane Bennett, contemporary art at 435 Guadalupe, has Spatial Illusions. Paintings by Catherine Green. It's got some work by Henry Jackson called Fractured Form, 5 to 7 through the end of September. So there's a little bit of visual arts happening tonight. What time is it?
8:52.
Man, time flies.
Hey, have you heard of Puppets Revenge?
I have heard of Puppets Revenge. What antics are they up to?
Aren't they doing a thing on Sunday?
Puppets Revenge is back.
8:15 on Sunday, August 30th, and it is happening at the CCA.
Yeah.
Center for Contemporary Arts in Santa Fe, and it's the story of Eros and Psyche.
Yeah, multilingual puppet show, love story for the ages. This is a show I saw several years ago, and they're still bringing it around. And
is it good? Do you like it?
If it's the same one, I remember. It's got Elvis Presley and Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, right.
And that stuff is always interesting when you bring those two on.
Especially as puppets.
Yeah, that's good, too. But that's too bad they never made a movie together. If she just lived a couple more years and she was in Viva Las Vegas, except I love Anne Margaret. So I don't care.
I know you love Anne Margaret. Like, and all of our listeners know you love Anne Margaret.
Okay. Forget the Anne Margaret.
You know what I saw last night? I got involved. It was terrible. I was trying to decide what, you know, just think of what I was going to talk to Shannon DeYoung about. And I did. But I got involved in this Ida Lupino movie from the early 40s.
Ida Lupino was terrific. What was it?
Called The Hard Way.
Oh, The Hard Way. Vincent Sherman directed that. Yeah, with Dennis Morgan and Jack Carson. That's terrific.
It's a great movie.
The ambitious gal working her way up. And
It's she's sort of like a stage mother for her sister.
Right.
And the sister is somewhat talented and becomes a rising star. But the sister is really kind of a family girl, and
yeah, she doesn't want all this crap,
and wouldn't have gotten anywhere except for the ruthless ambition of her older sister, played by Ida Lupino.
Warner Brothers.
Joan Leslie
stuff.
Played
Joan
the Leslie. Sister, and she was like 18 years old or whatever when she made the film. 19 years old.
Yeah, I know.
It was anyway. So why am I talking about this? It was a very good movie.
Ida Lupino was terrific, and she later was one of the first official Hollywood director. She made some terrific little pictures in the early 50s that dealt with some pretty serious subjects. They were all sort of B-movies, but they're really well done. One, in fact, is about a young woman who gets pregnant at a marriage and is considering an abortion. She also did a pretty terrific film noir called The Hitchhiker, which is terrifying, about this guy that, when he goes to sleep, his eyes are open, and he's the killer, and he kidnaps these two guys, and they never know when he's asleep or not. It's really freaky. And it's called some disease. I can't tell what it's called. So he's laying there sleeping with his eyes open, and they don't know when to escape.
Ah.
She was great. She was a really good actress and a really good director, and had a pretty tumultuous relationship with her husband, Howard Duff. They used to throw spaghetti at each other and stuff. But, oh, well, that's good. I could see her doing that. The Hard Way, terrific movie. On Turner? Wait, was it on
Yeah,
TV?
It was on – I think I have – I guess I have this – We have this Turner – classic movies, I guess, on the satellite dish channel.
Excellent.
One of the satellite dish channels. And they have no commercials.
No.
So you can't even get up out of your chair. You have
no.
to just sit there and watch the whole thing.
You do.
I mean, you don't have to, but
That's
then you miss something. I left the room for 2 minutes and I missed something. Hey, the New Mexican Magazine announces fabulous prize for the 9th annual photo contest. The deadline is extended to September 21st. You can go to nmmagazine.com for entry forms and rules and all sorts of things. And it's for amateur photographers. And they will receive a week-long workshop from the Eloquent Light Photography Workshops and 6 nights lodging here at the Lodge of Santa Fe, the winner of that, and other prizes as well. So check it out, aspiring photographers.
Pretty good. How much time do we have left?
A couple minutes.
Okay, and Budo Station still has music. Jed Zimmerman's up there tonight, 5 o'clock, acoustic country, folk. On Saturday, 5 o'clock, they've got Round Mountain. And on Sunday at 4 o'clock, they've got Rourke Barron, electroacoustic harpist. Pardon me, it's noon to 4 Sunday. That makes sense, probably for the brunch and lunch crowd. And Budo Station up there on NM68, about 40 miles north of the city of Santa Fe, on the low road to Taos. So that's happening. Madrid has a couple art openings this weekend. If you want to swing on down there, Tapestry Gallery and Spirit and Art Gallery both have some shows up running through the weekend. And you can always head up to Abiquiu since the George O'Keefe movie's at the Leipzig tonight and see Ghost Ranch Piedra Lumbre Education and Visitor Center. We've got a group show called From Heart to Head to Hands. A group show of visual autobiographies. That's interesting. They're open 9 to 5, Tuesday through Saturday by donation. So lots of stuff happening up there. And you can always go see local musicians. Geeks Who Drink Pub Trivia at Catamount Wednesday night. At the Tin Star Jam that night at the Tin Star Saloon with Ben Lucero. Let's say it's Friday night. You want to go hear some music tonight. Aztec Cafe has DJ Miss Ginger and Friends, 9 o'clock. Cowgirl has Felix y Los Gatos, Gypsy Swing at 9 o'clock, small cover. El Faro has the wonderful Savor Cuban music, 9:30, terrific, cover charge. Ramon Bermudez Jr. and Friends are playing at La Posada de Santa Fe Resort and Spa. Los Wise Guys at La Fiesta Lounge tonight at La Fonda, 8 o'clock, no cover.
Hey, this is something I forgot to announce last weekend, but there is an exhibit called Phyllis Sloan Memorial Exhibit.
That's right.
The mother of an acquaintance of mine who passed away not too long ago, and the opening was, I guess, last weekend. But anyway, it goes through the 30th, which is this Sunday, at the Argos Gallery at 821 Canyon Road and the Eli Levin Studio at 830 Canyon Road. For more information, 986-8071.
Good. And Dorothy Rogers Fine Art is still doing mixed media work by Chief CEO Aldo Runtuba, 418 Sirius Road in the Design Center through mid-September. I understand Carlos Gospel Cafe closed in there recently.
What?
I understand they closed.
Carlos, you're kidding.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I used to go all the time downtown, and then in the beginning I went quite often in the Design Center, and then I stopped going, so I feel bad. Although I don't think I could have kept them in business. I can't even keep myself in business.
Heavens.
Heavens.
You can't keep yourself in business?
You're in heaven.
I think you're in business.
When you see my eyes shining at you like they do, and you say that Robert Knott should be in a zoo, when we're out together dancing, me and you.
Nice, nice rhyme.
Heavens, rhymes with sevens. That's a lucky number for everybody but me, because I've always been lucky with three. Like you and a cute blonde, and of course me.
You're the only person who can actually make up a cute song about numerals.
I know, especially three. It's a fun number, especially when you're around.
Especially anyway, when there's three small dogs.
There we go. Honey, Milk, and Horatio. Do I have a funny story for you?
Okay.
They are adorable dogs. They really are beautiful.
They're good dogs, except when Milk runs into the arroyo and stays out for 45 minutes.
That's not good dog.
That's very
That's
bad
why we put
dog
them on
behavior.
Leashes.
Yeah, well, some of us like them to be free.
No. If you're going to be nude, you got to be in a specific zone. It's the same with dogs off the leash. They got to be... When they're supposed to be, you got to take care of them.
No, you got to put them on the. What you do is you got to take them to the dog park.
That's right.
Anyway, Robert Knott
Good
is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's with us here just about every Friday.
Yeah,
speaking
I'll be here
of
next
the arts,
Friday. We'll talk about Zizal Burma.
I'll be here next Friday too. I'll be here probably every Friday for the foreseeable future.
Me too. We're going to lunch anytime soon with people.
Yes,
people
we are.
Who want lunches should call and get this set up. I'm
okay.
Hungry.
It's just about time to go. Robert Knott, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, I love being here.
Oh, I didn't do the outro. Thanks to Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today. KSFR.org, SantaFeRadioCafe.org, all sorts of good things. Time to go. Have a wonderful weekend.
I'll see you around, beauty.
Ciao.